WKTY Morning Show, rocking and rolling here on a Friday, Junior. Throw it up there Thursday, a thirsty Thursday, whatever it is that you call this day of the week in order to get yourself prepped up for the weekend, I'm all for it. You know what I call today, it's Friday, Junior. Our good buddy, sports betting insider, John Denton, joining us here on the Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line. JD, top of the morning to you, my friend. How have you enjoyed championship week so far? Last night, the Big Ten tournament tipped off, and you know, we saw a couple of pretty good games.
Not enough screens in my house, Dave. Not enough screens in my house for this for this time of year. You know, I can only get so much picture-in-picture. I can only have so many computer screens plugged into this thing. So, yeah, not enough screens, man. This is the best time of year for me.
Man, I tell you, this part of the sports schedule, this part of the sports calendar is really and truly amazing. The only thing that would make this better would be if we had football. And, oh, yeah, that's right. We're going to have the USFL kickoff in, like, about a month, which is really fun. John, you were telling us about championship weekend and a couple of the reasons why you like some of these conference championship brackets better than you like the March Madness bracket from a betting perspective when we had you on the show Tuesday. This morning, our listeners are waiting with bated breath for a John Denton special because they're going to BetUS, they're signing up, they're putting in their deposits, and they want to make their plays. Now, the free plays that you have given us on the John Denton special over about the last 18 weeks would ensure somebody, if they bet every one of these games, they would have made a really good profit. So let's jump right in. What are you delivering to us this morning, our free play John Denton special?
Yeah, so we've got three plays in these conference tournaments. We're, as I said, about a couple weeks ago, you know, I started focusing on a few of these conferences specifically, and one of them was the Mountain West. We'll start there first off. I like Colorado State today, -2 against Utah State. I think Colorado State's going to make a deep run into this tournament. I think they'll probably be in the championship game. And again, short number, and I think it's due to the recency bias of them not playing as well. They had a couple losses to UNLV this year. I know one of them was by 20-something points when they were, I think, undefeated at home. So they've kind of had some recent slip-ups, but Utah State struggles. They shoot the three well, but Colorado State also defends the three well. So first play, Colorado State -2.
All right, so I like that. Real quick side note, the UNLV Lady Rebels last night beat Colorado State's women for the Mountain West Championship, the first appearance for the Lady Rebels in the Big Dance since 2002. Just had to throw that out there.
And what makes that even better is that their head coach, Lindy LaRocque, is Durango High School graduate, I believe.
No kidding.
And her dad.
Local
girl. Her dad, you remember the name? Al LaRocque, Durango head coach.
Yes,
I do. Back in the day, really good coach. So.
Wow.
Throw that in there. But yeah.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
Of,
I didn't know that.
Tie.
But that's great.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of hometown ties to the UNLV team there. The next play, we're going to stay in the Mountain West. We're going to go Fresno State, San Diego State. Now, this game has got an ugly total listed to it, 113.5 points over under. I'm going to go with the over 113.5. And when these two teams usually get together, it's usually in the mid 50s, maybe in the low 60s. So this game might not get over by much, but the last five games, these teams have been averaging 136 points per game. So especially San Diego State averaging about 15 points a game, more than what they normally average. So I think they're playing well offensively. UNLV home court kind of an advantage. They just played there a few days ago.
Yeah.
I like the over 113.5 in Fresno State, San Diego State matchup today.
That feels like a fairly safe play. Again, these two teams recently anyways have started to pick it up. San Diego State, I mean, I think for the whole university, their football program, their basketball programs, both on the men and women's side, they've been really hitting a stride. San Diego State is no joke anymore. They're really not.
They have a brand new football stadium too, about to go up. So they were, you know, when I played back in the day, we were playing at Qualcomm Stadium.
You know,
and
that place was awful.
You know, it was like 16 people in an 80,000 seat stadium. So it was a little disheartening when you went to play San Diego State. But yeah, they do have some good things going on over there. One of our old head coaches at UNLV, Jeff Horton, is the associate head coach over there.
Oh, is that right?
for the football team? Yeah, so I stay in contact
awesome.
With him a lot. They got some good things going on over there for sure.
Yeah. All right, so we like Fresno State, San Diego State over the total of 113.5. Okay, and now your third play.
Yeah, third play. We're going to go Central Michigan and Toledo. This is another high total. You're looking at about 146.5. I'm going to play the under in this game. Recently, these two teams have met. The totals have been listed at 150 and at 149, so a little bit higher than today's total. but both of these totals have missed by a combined 30 points. So I think you're when one team is averaging 80 something points a game the last five teams or last five games, I think it's a recency bias. Again, these numbers are put up directly after these games are played the night before. So I still think you're getting kind of a Ken Pom, you're getting kind of one of these ranking biases in here as well. I'm going to go ahead and play the under 146.5 Central Michigan and Toledo today.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit. And for all of these bets that John is talking about, you can make your wagers with the official sportsbook partner of the show. That is BetUS.com. Sign up using the promo code WKTY. You claim yourself a free 125% deposit match. You know, there's another college basketball game happening today, Duke and Syracuse. I think Duke's going to win, but they're favored by 14.5 points. But the reason that I'm bringing that up, John, is this. I know you saw what happened last night when Buddy Boeheim, Jim Boeheim's son, who apparently is, you know, young enough to play on that basketball team, being that Jim Boeheim's like 90, you know, Buddy Boeheim punched a dude in the stomach. And after the game, Jim Boeheim's trying to say it was an inadvertent tap or something. Did you see that nonsense last night?
I did see it. And for him to say it was an inadvertent slap or an inadvertent contact, you know, was dad protecting his son. As simple as that, right? I think is what
I guess.
It was from the media. But he went out and slugged that guy in the stomach. And then, you know, he was looking at the referee the whole time. They're like, wow, did he catch that? I want to see his hand in the cookie jar type thing. Like, did he just catch me punch that guy? I think he did.
Man, it was wild last night. Look, the whole entire sports world right now feels, especially in basketball, college basketball particularly, feels like it's on edge, right? Like the handshake lines are becoming, you know, de facto scrums and stuff like that. You've got Buddy Boeheim, again, really surprised that he's actually young enough to be Jim Boeheim's son and play on that team. Anyways, punching guys in the middle of a game, it was just wild. I know that Jim was trying to protect his son, but the reporter's like, we've got the video, Jim. And he's like, well, I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree then. Do I have to agree with you? It's like, no, you old codger, but don't lie to me. Come on, man. It was just such an awkward look.
We had the fight the other night, too, against, I think it was like Wagner and Bryant something like that.
Yes, it was.
Fans in the stands going at it. It was kind of crazy. Yeah, I don't know about on edge, but I know these teams are trying a little bit harder than normal to get in this tournament. We'll just say that.
Yeah, well, one thing I will say about Buddy Boeheim, if he would have been playing in the NBA back in like the 1980s, like Bill Laimbeer would have been, okay, that's fine, but you didn't lean in enough. I mean, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I remember Robert Parrish and members of the Pistons, I mean, multiple members of the Pistons, getting into fist fights. Like, I mean, they took shots at each other, 2 7-footers punching each other out, and it's like, wow. Buddy Boeheim gave a little stomach tap, but it was absolutely on purpose. No inadvertent blow there, Mr. Boeheim. I'm sorry to push back on you there. JD, let me get your thoughts on this. I don't have an a play for this one. I just want to get your general takeaway. Tonight, we're going to see Michigan State and Maryland play in the Big Ten tournament. They'll be tipping off at about 6 o'clock, 5:30 on the Big Ten Network. The winner of that game faces off against Wisconsin tomorrow. Do you really think that Wisconsin is going to have a good shot to beat Michigan State or Maryland? I love Wisconsin. They've been playing great this year. But Johnny Davis got banged up against Nebraska last Sunday. I know he'll be back, but do you think Wisconsin matches up well in a Big Ten tournament setting against Michigan State or Maryland? Or am I just alone and feeling a bit nervous about this?
No, I think you have every right to be a little nervous. Like I said, I think they've been a little bit overhyped at the end of the season just because of how they've been playing. Listen, with a little injury to your best player, and similar rankings in the projections or in the like the Ken Pom stats, right? You're talking about like 23, 24, 25-ish in the rankings, and that's a similar ranking to what Michigan State is. I like Michigan State to get past Maryland tonight. I think they already beat them up one time this year here recently. So I like Michigan State to get by there and set up a matchup with Wisconsin in the next round. But for Wisconsin, they're going to have a healthy Johnny Davis for sure to get by Michigan State, but then to make a deeper run as well into these next two tournaments or these next tournaments.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that for Wisconsin, I talked about this off air with one of our advertisers, Jimmy Haggerty, Stone Distribution. I talked about this off air. I said the Big Ten tournament to me is actually tougher in a lot of ways than the regular March Madness tournament would be for the Badgers. The Big Ten, you know, it might not always have the most dynamic athletes, but John, you and I know the Big Ten is big grown man basketball, right? You have big heavies. You have always had a really tough conference. And when you go through the Big Ten tournament, I mean, heck, if you can make it through that gauntlet and into the March tournament, you're in really good shape. I got a little nervous looking at Michigan State and Maryland thinking, good Lord, if Johnny Davis isn't 100%, this is going to be tough sledding for the Wisconsin Badgers. John, I also want to get you to weigh in, though, on some of what we have seen this week in the National Football League. Big trades, quarterback trades, Russell Wilson going from Seattle to Denver. Yesterday, we found out that Carson Wentz is getting traded from Indianapolis to Washington, and now will be part of the Commanders organization. Let me start off with Russell to the Broncos. You know, I look at this trade, John. It reminded me a lot of when Peyton Manning chose Denver. They had some up-and-coming wide receivers at the time, Demaryius Thomas. They had Welker. They had a number of defensive players just popping. They had Von Miller. Now you've got Bradley Chubb. They had great corners. They had, you know, the ability to sign Aqib Talib. Now they've got Patrick Surtain. It feels like the Broncos have set themselves up in a lot of the same ways they did when they brought Peyton Manning aboard. But what were your thoughts about this trade when it actually went down?
Well, I think it's a good move for Denver. I think they had to. But former general manager Mike Tannenbaum had a great quote I read this morning that said, trades in the NFL occur because of three things. One, desperation, right? Desperate times call for desperate measures. Or we're one player away. Or get the guy out of the building, right? The cancer, right? We got to get the guy out of the building. I think this trade specifically was desperation, right? When I think his name's Patton, right? The GM is Patton. When he didn't select the quarterback in the first round this year and passed up on Mac Jones or Justin Fields or whatever, that put him on the hot seat to get a quarterback. And I think when he drafted Patrick Surtain, that was to appease the head coach as a defensive guy and to not cause any ruffles or to even put one of those quarterbacks kind of in one of those situations that you and I always talk about, hey, the quarterback's not in a good situation. He has a rough first year. It could be, you know, it could be detrimental to his development. But when you look at the trade, it looks like Denver won, right? It looks like Denver came out on top. But I'm still on the sideline on this. I want to see if Russell Wilson can come back and do what he's done the previous two or three seasons as opposed to what he did last year. You know, when you look at all of his stats, he's declined in passing stats. He declined in his rushing stats. Seattle wasn't the same at home. And I don't know if it was necessarily due to a declining team at all, but they made some really bad moves, Seattle did, and they're in a full rebuild now. So definitely Denver won out on paper at the beginning. It'll be time will tell to see if they won long term. He is the third best quarterback in the AFC West right now,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
They had to make a move. It was out of desperation, I think so.
You know, I'd put him probably at the second best quarterback in that division behind Mahomes, but you could make an argument. I know last year the thumb injury Russell Wilson suffered didn't help anything, right? That definitely didn't help, but Seattle has been sort of unraveling in recent years. They've had a lot of problems on their offensive line. I go back to the trade they made to get Jimmy Graham years ago from the Saints. They traded center Max Unger, and when you trade an offensive lineman for a guy that wanted to be a wide receiver, but the league didn't let him be a wide receiver to get paid. That, to me, set the Seattle Seahawks behind just so far. There was no catching up. The best thing that you can do for a quarterback like Russell Wilson is give him a stout offensive line. He's not that tall. He needs that beef up front. And when they lost Max Unger, I just saw that whole entire franchise change on a dime. Now, the Colts, yesterday, they traded Carson Wentz to the Washington Commanders. From what we understand, this was largely due to Jim Irsay being absolutely livid that they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though the Colts have been owned by Jacksonville in Jacksonville in recent seasons. Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, I think they could have given Carson another year, but Jim Irsay wasn't having it. So the Colts trade him to the Commanders. They get a couple of mid-round picks. And look, Carson Wentz is a good, not great quarterback. Last year, 27 touches, 7 picks, a quarterback rating of about 95. He's a big guy, John, with a big arm. And you were in that same kind of camp, a big guy with a big arm. You'll get multiple chances. I think Carson Wentz is obviously an upgrade over Taylor Heinicke. But what did you make of the trade Indianapolis to Washington for Carson Wentz?
Well, I think there's people on both sides of the fence here. And when you look at it from the betting angle, I'll just give you a little stat that I found, too, is that one sportsbook dropped the Commanders from 50-1 to 40-1 after the trade.
Oh, that's a pretty big leap.
They upgraded, right? One sportsbook went from 60-1 to 75-1 of Wentz's trade. So when you look at there's people on both sides of the fence, that explains it tremendously, right? So if you like the Commanders to win the Super Bowl next year, don't go to one book I just mentioned, or I won't mention. But, Wright gave up on him, and I think all – all signs pointed to him. You know, that last game in Jacksonville, Jim Irsay being pissed. Set it apart, too, was probably way before that, too, is because he was an unvaxxed player that missed a game because of a positive COVID test. And I think that irks more of the owners and more of the GMs than any type of injury or any type of other type of setback. But, you know, they get third round pick. I think they got a couple third round picks for him. One might be a second round pick.
They got a third round pick in 2022 and 2023. The 2023 third rounder can become a second if Wentz plays 70% of the snaps for Washington. A similar structure to the deal that sent him from Philly to Indianapolis this last year.
Yep, I'll say these last two things is that this is his last opportunity to be the man de facto by default in this quarterback room, and ends up being like a Trubisky kind of name here after this failure in Washington if it doesn't work out. The last thing I'll mention is that hey, if you like the Colts next year and you think they're going to make a move to grab a quarterback here coming up, which I think they probably will, they're sitting at 30-1 to win the Super Bowl next year, so they're gonna probably go to 10-1, 12-1, somewhere around there. So I made a little wager on the Colts making a move. That's not to necessarily win the Super Bowl, but sure, to get a little value heading into next season.
Well, I don't think that's a wrong play because the Colts, from a general perspective, are really well situated. Whomever is their next quarterback, it won't be Watson because that's an interdivisional trade that would have to happen. But you've got Wisconsin superstar running back Jonathan Taylor. You've got Michael Pittman. You know, you've got some weapons. The defense for Indianapolis wasn't the problem last year. Carson Wentz just left too many plays on the field, I think, for what that's worth. He just left too many plays on the field. And that's where you look at his numbers and you see 27-7 and the quarterback rating is good. But he didn't get them to the postseason, even though they had a winning record. JD, really appreciate your time this morning, as always. But thank you so much for that John Denton special. I want to recap this for those that have just tuned in. We'll put this together on our website later this afternoon at 1 p.m. But we've got Colorado State -2 versus Utah State. Fresno State, San Diego State going over the total of 113.5. And Central Michigan versus Toledo going under 146.5. You can make your plays on the official sports betting partner of the show, BetUS.com. John, thank you so much. We'll be touching bases here off air, but have a great rest of your day. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again on Tuesday morning on the program.